All right, guys, welcome. We are here with Kelly. Kelly is from Canada. She was able to make it to the United States because of her love of brunch, which is a very American thing. So welcome.
Thank you.
The reason that we're talking to Kelly today, other than the fact that she's a dope person and an amazing person, is that Kelly has had quite the transformation. You've lost how much now? 70?
70 pounds.
70 pounds. And I'm going to ask you this. I've been asking this question in this way, and I think it's very helpful because when somebody thinks, oh, I lost 70 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever amount of weight, mm-hmm. people think it's going to be hard, it's going to be stressful, I don't know if I can do this, it's definitely not going to be enjoyable. So the way that I ask it is, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, mm-hmm. how enjoyable has it been? 10 is like you're at Disneyland, 1 is like you're at the dentist getting your teeth pulled.
I'd say 8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
And on a scale of difficulty, where would you rate it? So like, how hard has it been? So like, 10 is you're trying to do calculus quadratic equations, mm-hmm. And you've never taken math. And 1 is like, you know, it's easier than going to
brushing your teeth.
Brushing your teeth. Well, that's hard for some people. But one. Let's say this. 1 is ordering some popcorn, okay. which you enjoy. So, like, yes. That's easy.
I would say a 3 to 4. It depends on the situation. Yeah.
I like that. So, like similar to what Aubrey said, it was like, how enjoyable has it been? 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And then how difficult has it been? 3 or 4. And like, I'll take that all day. Because usually what people do is that it's like, if I ask that question, they'll be like, if they really think about it, how enjoyable has it been? It would be like a 1. This sucks. And then how difficult has it been? A 10.
Right.
So we got the right balance. Welcome.
Thank you.
So my first question for you is, what was kind of your life, before you came here last year?
I started
a year and a half.
September 8th was my first day in the door.
So
just over a year ago.
So congratulations on your first Hippoversary.
Thank you.
what was life like prior to that? Because now you've lost over 70 pounds in about a year's time.
Correct. It was pretty much the same as it was, but I was going through some changes with my body where I was just tired all the time. And I needed to find a solution to give myself some energy. So I'm a workaholic, so I work all the time. For me, I'm always trying to get up the corporate ladder and give my all in that, and I was never applying that to my physical well-being.
How come?
Time, honestly. Like, I'm a mom and I have a family, and getting that balance, I would make excuses. But the reality is I work 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, and I have a 9-year-old, and I have a husband, and I have to get sleep in there somewhere.
And you have a house.
And it's a difficult balance, but at some point you do have to make time for yourself and for your future. So everything I've done is investing in my future.
So That's the typical, one of the typical responses for, you know, why somebody can't make that change, is I don't have time.
Correct.
I got work, I got family, and all of these things. And so one thing I always like to ask is, or, you know, whatever your thoughts, if you ever thought about this prior, and what you think about it now, is like, well, none of those things, like, if you say those things are your priority and you recognize, like, how you physically feel and what you're physically able to do mm-hmm. affect those things, and your health just continues to go down and you have less and less energy, like, are you really, like, bringing your best to those areas? Did you ever think about that before? And then how do you feel about that now?
I don't think so, because I think as human beings, we tend to be able to compartmentalize our lives and put things on the back burner that aren't important. So
rationalize.
Rationalize and not think about the cause and effect of things. It's we're in the moment trying to get through the day, and that day's done, and the next day you're trying to get through that day. And that's kind of how we work as a species. So it's nice when you can step back, have a bird's eye view of how every single thing you do affects the other thing.
Yeah.
And that goes into all aspects of life.
And so you were not able to do that prior?
No.
You were just living in all of that stuff.
Correct. I was in it, and I was waiting for the next, like, 4-day weekend or vacation, and you're just going through the motions to get done what you need to do to get ahead in that moment.
So then what kind of, okay, so like you wanted to get more energy, like take me through, like, what was the moment where you were like, I'm feeling low energy, I need to do something, and you started to look for an answer. So
yeah.
What happened, or what were those moments?
There were several weekends, well, probably 3 or 4 weekends in a row where I would go to bed at night on Friday and I didn't wake up or get out of bed until 10 or 11 in the morning the following day. And I would do that Friday night and then Saturday night as well. And it wasn't because I was out partying or anything. I was just so tired. My body needed to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm up at between 5 and 5:30 every morning for work. And it just, by nature, I am a night owl, so I wouldn't go to bed until 10 o'clock or 11, so I'm not getting the sleep I need. I was exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
So it just got to the point where I didn't want to do things, and that's not how I want to live my life. Because not waiting for that one weekend or that one week to go it all out, I wanted to be able to have energy to sustain the entire
yeah.
week and have that be more even, equanimity. and also with my daughter, like I needed to have energy for her. And I would go through the motions and I would do all the things with her. I would take her to gymnastics and go see her perform and do everything, but there were times when I just wanted that to be the last thing I wanted
yeah.
to do, and that's not fair to anybody.
Yeah.
So I figured with everything in my life, the main thing that could be holding me back was my weight. And I went through a couple of months where I tried tracking my calories, and nothing really happened for a month. I tracked it beginning to end. I weighed in beginning and end, and I didn't lose any weight. So I said, okay, well, I'll try intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting I did for a full month. I ended up gaining weight. And I said, well, what's wrong with me? And I figured between the lethargy that I had, the everything that was going on, something wasn't right. So I did go get tested for my thyroid. It turns out I did have hypothyroidism, and I had Hashimoto's disease. And so there's some hormonal imbalances there, but that's only part of the story. So I was able to get medication for that to help with the hormone issue, and that coincided with the time when I started working out at San Jose Barbell.
What made you want to work out, and what made you come here?
Because I think I've never been anti-workout.
Yeah.
But I am somebody who drives a fine balance between wanting to be by myself,
yeah,
but also finding a community.
Yeah.
So I, when we come here, it is such a wonderful little family that you feel that you can be yourself.
Yeah.
And there's, everybody has the best interest in mind, but going back to your question, it's, I was never not wanting to work out. That yeah. never bothered me. And to me, the most fun things look like the ropes and people flip tires and do yeah. stuff like that. That looks like fun.
Yeah.
But not knowing anything, where do you do that, right?
So you were just kind of like, you kind of had an idea that, okay, well, working out will help. I'll do what the doctor yep. says, and, you know, maybe I will find an answer yeah. and I'll feel better.
I knew working out would help. That hands down. And it was finding the community where I could be sustainable with my workouts.
Had you always been overweight?
Yes.
Since
forever. I remember my dad passed away when I was little, and I remember sitting under his casket with Twizzlers, like eating, like I remember those moments.
Yeah.
And I, even going into the sixth grade, I was like 200 pounds, and all the kids would go on a skiing trip and I'd be so embarrassed because I had to step on the scale
yeah.
to weigh in and be weighed for your skis. It was the most mortifying thing.
Yeah.
It never affected me socially though.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe how I justified things. Because I always like had boyfriends. I yeah. always was like had lots of friends and lots of community.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but yeah. I want to like emphasize this. Like from the day that I met you and Ari, like you guys are super fun. I was like, these are my people. Like one of the reasons that I talk with everybody. Hold on 1 second.
We get that at our house.
It's like as soon as we want to record, everybody wants to come out. It's been super quiet all morning, but
you hear those trucks out there, dude.
But what I was saying was like you guys were super like positive and like, you know, you had great energy as far as like, you know, communication, and so like, yeah, like you're the same person as far as all of that. Like there wasn't anything like, you know, because people kind of have this thing of like you only need to improve if you're like super depressed or like
right.
you don't have any kind of confidence, like you can't talk to people, like and that was not the case.
No, because none of this makes you happy. You are either happy or you're not, and you need to figure out what's making it not. But it has nothing to do. In reality, if I got in an accident and I lost an arm, yeah, that would fucking suck, but that's not going to make me an unhappy person.
Yeah.
It's not going to change who I am. And I think that's part of it. That's part of why I've been able to be successful, because I do come in and you guys ask me to do stuff and I give you that, are you sure but I try it
yeah.
and I do it. And even if I am not perfect, we're still working and progressing.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing of like, things that I've noticed, and I say this all the time, is like I know a lot of people who have six packs and who are miserable.
Right.
You know, I know a lot of people, that was myself as well. Like, I thought that's what it, and this is the important distinction, is like, it doesn't matter like which area of the spectrum you are, because like I was super like opposite on that scale of like super quiet, like very self-conscious, like I did not, you know, it was like a big deal to me, and like it affected me in a lot of things. And so that's what drove me to like, okay, I want to change that. And then I achieved all these things, and I was still the same person.
Right.
And but I didn't know, like, I couldn't, when you're inside of those things, you can't
understand.
Yeah,
right?
You just feel like, man, I still feel shitty. So that's important too. Like, it doesn't matter where you are, as long as you have the desire to feel good, and you don't need the six pack or anything else to feel good.
Right.
You can feel good right now, and that's why one of my favorite things is like, you can't have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Like, you're, whatever you decide to do, it, you can, you not only can you feel good right now,
right,
but you have to feel good right now.
Right.
Like, there's no, you're not gonna magically feel good.
Right. You're not gonna wake up on day 372 and just suddenly feel great.
Yeah.
Right. It has to be, you have to be happy with the day. You have to be able to wake up, look in the mirror, and be, this is what it is, and it is perfect because I'm breathing, and life is wonderful.
Yep.
And let's kick ass today and go for it.
Yeah.
You have to have that mentality.
it's really interesting because, you know, the evolution of kind of my, because I've worked with thousands of people. I've talked to, I don't know, like, thousands and thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen conversations, like I've seen people who were able to succeed, and I've seen people who maybe had short-term success, lost a lot, and then just went back. Like, it's really, really interesting what the evolution has been is like, oh, okay, your thoughts, like what you're thinking determines your reality.
Mm-hmm.
But then the deeper level to that, now that I'm seeing it, is like, what you're feeling and who you're being now is going to determine what your reality is. It's like, you know, if I'm always complaining or miserable or unhappy on my way to my goals, whether it's, oh, I'm gonna make, you know, X amount of money,
mm-hmm,
or I'm going to be really lean and blah, blah, blah. If I'm miserable on the way to that, when I arrive there, I'm still gonna be miserable. And some people think that that's just the way it is, and so they live miserable lives. Other people, they get there and they're like, man, this sucks. And it's been sucky the whole time, and so they go back.
Yeah.
And like, they can't sustain it.
Right.
So what was kind of like the things that you noticed that were really important in being, in having it be enjoyable, and what kind of stuff did you learn that you weren't expecting?
For me, the community made it enjoyable, because when we come in here, everybody has each other's back, and I can't praise it enough. You guys have built such a great little foundation here for success. We get PRs and people ring the bell and everybody cheers. When somebody does a huge deadlift, everybody stops in their tracks and watches and is just hoping for the best for whoever is attempting this thing, this feat. And it is such a wonderful atmosphere that we all just genuinely want each other to succeed. It's fun. We're always laughing. We're always giggling and just joking around. Lots of high fives, lots of last set, best set, just making like the best little things that are important in building that community and that family.
Yeah, you know, what I really like also is like, you know, because everybody will kind of like say, oh, you know, we have a great community. Now, this is me being boastful about our community. but what happens here is like, whether there's two people,
because
it's one thing like, oh, there's like 50 people or, you know, 30, 40 people, and it's like, oh, everybody. But if it's just you, me, and Josh, and then you just hit a PR, like the same thing happens.
Right.
Like when you ring the bell, whether there's one person or, you know, 20 people.
Right.
Which, you know, I think a lot of, like, that just, and it goes to like the people that are here, and like, that's those are the people that are here, and You know, so that says a lot about you. What other stuff did you find as far as like nutrition and like things that were very helpful that you didn't know about as far as training or things like that?
That's good. So when I was growing up, of course, you're an overweight kid and you're put on a diet at an early age. It is...
Which is not good. Do not put kids on diets. Do not.
Don't
put anybody on diets. Right. There's a right way to do.
Well, the mentality was completely different in the 90s and even the early 2000s. It was super restrictive, 1,200, 1,300 calories. It was working out until you threw up. It was, you are not good enough unless you see that scale move every time. But I think that with particularly the last 2 to 3 years, there's been an abundance of people coming up saying, this is normal, this is sustainable in the figuring out your metabolic rate, figuring out what your caloric needs are, and that may take a month or two or three, and then going just a little bit under that and see what happens after a month or two, and then adjust yourself from there, is being more aware of your body. And the daily weigh-ins are amazing because then you see not just the trend, but you see, hey, I had some salt last night, so it's going to go up 3 pounds tomorrow, and I know that for a fact, and it doesn't affect me mentally. It's just all calculations and data points, which is fantastic. To be able to take away the emotion from the scale is one of the best things, and have that balance and be able to not restrict yourself in what a diet is in the
typical sense. Did you try restricting things in the past?
I've tried every diet.
What was one of the favorite what was like one of the most ridiculous things that you tried that you were like, okay, maybe this is the key?
Anything with no carbs. I lost a ton of weight, and you know what? It's not healthy. It's not sustainable. Most of it's water.
And it sucks.
It sucks because everything delicious has carbs in it.
It was just silly.
Yeah. I was talking with my friend on the phone last night, and she was saying, because she lives in Minnesota, and she was saying, oh, I'm seeing you from here, and you're looking great. You're doing great. I said, but I feel great. That's the most important thing. And then she said, well, how's your diet? Are you allowed to have In-N-Out? I'm like, motherfucker, I'll have In-N-Out all day if I want.
If your diet restricts you from having In-N-Out, you need to immediately stop and go to In-N-Out.
It's like, and for me, like, I love beer. So I, like, the Bacon and Beer Festival is my Christmas. It is the best day of the year. I freak out and love it. And I just make sure that you have a bank account of calories and you figure out how to stay within it. You're not going to put everything on credit, right? You need to stay within those calories and you're good.
Where is the Bacon and Beer Festival?
Dude, it is. it started at the San Jose Giants Stadium, that little one off of 10.
Alma. Yeah.
And then they moved it to Levi's. They had it there for 3 years, which was great because you could be on the 50-yard line in the middle of the line, like, eating donuts and drinking beer. Like,
they actually let you on the field? Yes. Or that's where it is?
Yes, it was amazing.
They were super sensitive. They're super, like very, very touchy about the field. We shot a commercial in Levi's.
And they're touchy about the field.
And, like... Yeah, they were like, don't go on the fucking field.
No, we were out there spilling beer. It was crazy.
Interesting.
But they moved it to Avaya last year. Okay. And you're not allowed on the field there.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very particular at Avaya. So it was all around the concourse, and then they've got that giant bar.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it still is, but used to be the longest bar in North America. So it's just a huge-ass bar.
Interesting.
And then they brought in food trucks and stuff, dope. Which was fun. But it's the best, and I drink a lot of beer.
So that's another thing. Like, somebody will be like, oh, well, I just like food too much. I like beer too much. And so that's why I can't lose weight. It's like, no, you just don't want to... No. We set up these arbitrary rules in different compartments of our lives, and which, if you looked at it as a whole, like, doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like,
well, here's one thing I learned too, is if you have a pint of ice cream, let's say, and you love ice cream, so you weigh out your portion of ice cream, you are not going to be any more satisfied eating that portion or eating the full pint. It's the same satisfaction level. So it's about having your ice cream, but just making sure you have the right portions to it. And that's kind of what I've done with everything. So I don't eliminate things. I just make sure that they're within these sizes that I can control, and we weigh everything and we measure things, and that's how it turns out. After doing that for 365 days, it makes a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. After doing it for a month, it makes a difference.
What calorie level are you at?
I run between 16 and 18. It depends. But if I'm not hungry, I'll have 13.
Yeah.
If I'm very hungry, I'm going to eat 21.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's really important too, because a lot of people think that, oh, okay, calorie deficit, that means I got to eat 1,000 calories. Well, this is something I always like to highlight. It's like a calorie deficit means you are eating less calories than what you used to.
Correct.
So you're starting from the actual number. You don't go from zero to 1,200 and set an arbitrary number.
Right.
You know, a pound of fat is made up of 3,500 calories.
And that's huge.
And so if a person was eating 3,000 calories a day on average, which is why tracking is so good, you know, because you'll actually find out, you drop your calories to even, let's say 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Every 7 days, so that's a deficit of 500, every 7 days you're going to lose a pound.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's the math of it.
Right.
And so that's also why, you know, tracking things is so important, because otherwise you don't know, like, you're in the dark, you know. Right.
And I have so many friends who will have a weekend, and it's hard not to force my thoughts into what they're saying.
Other people, yeah.
It's very hard. So I sit back and usually listen and nod and smile. And when they
have
tell
equanimity.
Me, yeah, have equanimity when they're telling me, oh, I had carbs last night, so I gained 4 pounds. And in my head, the only way to gain a pound is to have 3,500 calories above your daily caloric expenditure. So you are burning a certain amount base. You'd have to eat 35 above that just to gain 1 pound. So unless you ate like 12,000 calories yesterday, which I'm pretty sure you didn't, because I don't...
That's very difficult. That's why we did the 10,000 calorie challenge. You remember that?
I saw you guys, yeah. And what an attempt.
Yeah, like most of us tapped out at like around 5 or 6.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of calories.
It's way too much.
Yeah.
And I've never been huge on, like, I've never gone and ate 4 Big Macs at one sitting. That's not what I do. I'm a waste at a buffet. I always have been. But I tend to eat more calorically dense foods.
Yeah.
And so incorporating other things in with my diet, but still being able to enjoy those and portioning those out to,
yeah,
like the reality of a portion of a, what you did with the rice at Chipotle.
Yeah.
You buy a portion and assume that it's right, but until you measure it out, you don't know.
Yeah.
And when you actually do weigh it out, a portion is not a true portion.
Yeah. Do you feel like you kind of had this information before and it was just that you hadn't implemented it for some reason, or like, was there something that was missing in your understanding, or was it like a lot of this was just new information presented in a, you know, much simpler way or a different way?
That's a really good question. I feel like I did have the majority of the information, but I feel like also, in my head, although it wasn't logical, if I didn't lose 5 pounds a week, then I was a failure.
Yeah.
So that is in itself is setting yourself up for failure.
Because
you watch The Biggest Loser and they lose 50 pounds in 6 weeks and you think that that's how it has to be. Or you lose 5 pounds your first week and you think it always has to be like that. And then you see it go up a pound the next week.
And you're like, oh, my
God. Shit, yeah, fuck it all. Like, just flip the table, right? But... being able to have the consistency and knowing, learning, like you always say, trust the process, like trusting that what I do consistently over time will get me in the path that I need to be in.
It's really interesting because even myself, and this is why I'm like, you know, I think this is important before I go into the point. This is a side note. Because what I'm always thinking about is I'm always thinking about, okay, well, I now, today, in 2019, I know literally exactly what somebody needs to do to lose X amount of pounds, the science, the blah, blah, blah. Like, I know everything. But what I'm always thinking about is, okay, here's Kelly. What does Kelly need to hear or understand about this so that then she can easily take action on it? So, like, you know, it's, I think a lot of people make things very complicated, and they make it more complex than they need to. So everybody kind of knows about calories, you know, to a degree. Some people, they may not believe it, whatever, but it's like a piece of information such as a pound of fat requires, like, so calories are not something that was made up by somebody with a special interest. Like, calories are physics. Like, this is like, it's, you science. Can't you there's not going to be a scientist on the planet who will argue that, you know, a calorie, 1 gram of fat is equal to, is contains 9 calories of energy.
Yeah,
like that's, that would be like arguing, does gravity exist? Like, you don't need to believe in gravity for it to be working. Like, you don't need to believe that a calorie is a unit of energy. Like, it's still gonna work,
right?
So a piece of information like 3,500 calories is what is needed to either create or get rid of a pound of fat was something to me that I was like, okay, like, this seems to make sense to people. Was there particular pieces of information or connections that, like, were very, like, eye-opening for you?
That was one of them. The other thing was, and you see this so much, where people look at their Fitbit, look at whatever, and look at their calories spent, and they think they can add that to the bank.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works, because this is all just estimating on your everything. It's estimating your entire body and taking that out of the equation. So that was a huge thing to say, I don't have an extra 463 calories. Right.
Yeah.
Right. You stick between your 16 and 8, whatever your daily calories are, and then let science do the rest.
Yeah. And, you know, once this is like, tracking is so important because it gives you insight. Like, you begin to see things that everybody else will not see. For example, 1,800 calories is actually a lot of food.
Yep.
2,000 calories is actually a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to hear your thought on this. And you won't ever know that until you start tracking things.
Right. We should say it's a lot of the better food for you in the long run.
Yeah, well,
you can do 1,800 calories at McDonald's and, like,
I mean, a meal, you'll lose weight. Yeah,
you will, but I'll be hungry in 6 hours, right?
And, or in like 20 minutes.
Right.
That was always one. I would do these, you know, seminars, and that was always the example I gave of, like, you know, because JERF is an important part of the equation. You don't have to JERF, but it's probably
that
in your best interest.
That sounds
so rude. Yeah, I mean,
if people don't know what that is.
So JERF is, thank you, Kelly. JERF means just eat real food.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, do you remember the two reasons?
Well, you have control over the portions.
Yeah, so you know exactly how much you're eating. So that's actually a good third reason. But the two things are, like, real food tends to have lower calories.
Yeah.
And it's more filling. And it has vitamins and minerals. So, like, this is just a chemical equation here. Mm-hmm. And if you put the wrong, not, I don't want to say wrong, but if you're not getting the chemicals that you need for certain processes to work, then those things aren't going to work as well. That doesn't make you bad. That doesn't make anything wrong. It's just like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And so that's what JRF is. But I always use this example of like, if you, the example for calories that I always use was like, I would ask like, does anybody know what a pound of chicken breast comes out to in calories? And nobody would ever know. And a pound of chicken breast is 25 grams, so about 400 calories.
Okay.
So 400 calories of chicken breast, a pound, is like...
a lot of chicken.
It's like this much chicken breast.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to eat all that. Like, I eat a lot, and that's difficult for me to eat. And so you're going to be full, and you only ate less than 400 calories. One McDonald's hamburger is about that thick.
Very tiny.
It may be like that big, and that's 250 calories. And you're not gonna be, you're not full after one of those.
Right.
You gotta have at least two or three.
Or get a fry on the side.
And you gotta get some fries. And I don't know anybody, I always used to say this, like, they have small, medium, large. I'm like, I don't know anybody who ever ordered a small fry. Like,
well, I did.
Doesn't make it, well, maybe now or?
No, just always.
Oh, you
I would get like the kids' Happy Meal.
Oh, the, well, yeah. There you go.
Because I told you I'm a waste at a buffet. But, but still, that like kids' Happy Meal is, what do you think, 4, 5, 6, like 700 calories right there.
And
for children.
Yeah, yeah. So it's you don't know this until you track things. And so then, you know, this is what I was going to say, is like, I would love to hear your thoughts on this, you know, and if they've changed over time. Is like, the thing that people do is they set up restrictions and like cut out entire food groups as good or bad, which ultimately leads to binging or giving up or just being like, damn, like, well, I don't want to cut out French fries, so I guess I'm just not going to lose weight ever.
Right.
Versus when you understand calories and now no food is good or bad, mm-hmm. it's fucking food.
Right.
It has,
which
food
is meant to be enjoyed.
Which is meant to be enjoyed. Right? Every, like, think about, why do you want to do or have or be anything? Is because you think you're gonna feel good in the doing, having, or being of it.
Correct.
So, the moment that you say, or you take away all of those restrictions,
mm-hmm.
it, that thing no longer has like that pull over you of like,
right.
Hey, buddy. What's up? One of the world's strongest human beings just walked in the building. So literally one of the world's strongest human beings.
We should all just go and bow at his feet.
Yeah. It. But anyway, so beast. Like...
we love him.
That was LJ. Maybe we'll have somebody edit something in like somewhere over
just
here.
Just superimpose his face right here. Yeah. I keep forgetting this is on.
It's all good. No, that's good. That's good. That's what you want.
Okay.
That means we're doing good.
Okay.
But... the moment you take away those restrictions, all of a sudden you notice like these feeling, these things kind of dissolve,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't like you were talking about the ice cream, you no longer need to eat the whole pint,
right?
Because you're covering up some, or like you're just so distressed in all kinds of emotional ways that you just keep eating. And it's like, well, once I realize the ice cream is not bad,
mm-hmm.
then I'm like, oh, like, yeah. I can now notice the feeling of, oh, I'm full after 200 calories of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is.
Well, it's the same as with the scale. It's taking away the emotion from it. So that always, always has bothered me when I'm around people, particularly women, who say, oh, I can't eat that. That's bad. I can't have another cookie. Or I'm so bad. I just had a cookie. And you look at them, you're like, bitch, please. Like, this is food. It's giving you energy. Appreciate what you have. You can have it or not have it. Whether you do or not is not a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just a decision. And It's always bothered me when people have put emotion toward
a judgment,
something like that, right? So to be able to see more people enjoy more varieties of food and have more people informed that it is all calories, fat, carb, protein, right? That's what it is. And
did you ever have those? Did you notice that change, or did you always kind of were like, well, I'm just missing something, I don't know?
No, I used to have quite an emotional reaction to food. Okay. And it was never a good food, bad food per se, but it was what I was always told was bad, and what I was always told was
good. So how did you used to feel when you used to eat bacon or drink beer? Or did you just not care?
Yeah, I didn't care. I didn't. I was enjoying the moment and
the thing that I noticed. So like we have so many people that we've seen go through the process. You begin to learn patterns and you begin to see patterns. And so one thing that I've noticed amongst the people who have had the most success, whether they had a lot of weight to lose or very little weight to lose and like they wanted to look better, whatever it is, the people with the most who were already the, like they had a very, whether they knew it or not, if it was subconscious or conscious, they had this, their like overarching thing, principle or idea was like self-love and enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, or at least they wanted to go in that direction, those were the people who have the most success.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I bring that up is because like that's where you have to start. So these people who are so judgmental against themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they constantly beat themselves up, and there's not really much love for themselves, they don't make it. Like I've seen it over and over again. The people who need the most help, they don't make it.
And
they don't fucking make
it. It's hard. I know so many people who are in that position, and I don't know of a way to have them think otherwise. Like there's somebody I've known my entire life, and her and I grew up in the same situation, and I am who I am, and she is who she is, and she comes from such a self-loathing place where it's, and I don't know, that must be way beyond any of these conversations. She needs therapy, obviously. There's other issues, but I don't know how to make that switch turn for people.
You know, that's really interesting. So one of the ways, and like more and more, like if anybody looks at Al J's or mine's or Josh or John, like any of our information that we're sharing or things that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like we're really good at nutrition. Like we're the fucking best. Like we're really good at being really strong. Like all of our people are really regular sized human beings, and like fucking Al J is 155 pounds and deadlifts 600 for reps. Like
622.
And like we're really good at all the technical shit. But none of that really matters, because what we're talking about mostly is loving yourself and forgiving yourself for what you have or haven't done. And so I think, because you know what, I mean I'll just be honest, like I came from that same place.
Yeah,
like I had this deep down thing of like, well, everything's eventually like going to be, I believe that everything would be good and okay, but for the majority of my life I fucking, like my self-talk and like what I thought about myself and the words and language that I used in my own head,
mm-hmm.
was not a good, it wasn't good. And so what I've kind of recognized is, and I tried to, so for one, like these conversations help, because the more people talk about this kind of stuff, the more it becomes reality, right?
Correct.
I remember, like, if I were to talk about this in high school or even college,
forget it.
Everyone would make fun of me, and I would think, and I remember, like, I would never talk about any of this stuff because that means I'm a little bitch, or like people would make fun of me, or they're gonna say something about me. So that thing is really cool. So I think it is changing,
mm-hmm.
but people add complexity to this in that, oh, I need to figure all this shit out. Where did this come from? How am I going to overcome it?
Yeah.
How can I change my thinking about myself? And so one of the things that we've really, really focused on and worked on in figuring out, and this is the answer, is like, you can choose to love yourself right now. Literally, this is as complicated as it is. You could sit down and say, there's a variety of ways, but like very simple one is like, I love myself and I forgive myself, and just sit with that and repeat that self. And I forgive myself for everything I have and haven't done. And so you begin to take away these self-judgments, and so they begin to dissolve the same way your thoughts about bad food dissolve.
Yeah.
And they don't have any more power. Like ice cream doesn't have any more power over you anymore, or whatever the food is. And so these judgments, they're not something to like surgically remove out of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're bad. That's a part of you. And so you bring it back and you embrace it with love, and it dissolves. And what we recognize, all that there ever was and all that there ever is and will be, is good. Like,
yeah. It's huge.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's really awesome that more people are talking about it. A lot of more people are living it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the way that this changes. Because if I go to that person and I tell her, look, you got to be positive, because this was a phase too.
Right.
In myself, and I still see it a lot. It's like, don't think negative. Don't talk negative. That only gives it more power and makes it a bigger thing, because the moment you're going to have that thought,
right,
the moment you do, you're going to be like, oh, fuck, like I'm thinking this negative shit. Fuck, man, I'm such a piece of shit.
Which brings you down even more. Right, that's...
So, man, like that's the kind of shit I'm like, that's the real key.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you are instantly in this moment, you become whole. And you become good, and then the things that you have to do become effortless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, anyways, that was just something that popped in my head, because you're saying, like, because we all want to, like, uplift other people. We want to share, like, how amazing do you feel now? Like, you want to share that with people.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. And like, the Canadian in me wants to stay back and be polite and not say much, but the person in me wants to...
Yeah, you want to share it with everybody.
From the rooftops, right? And I also know that I'm in the middle of a journey here. And I'm not at that limitless point that I've talked about yet. So I'm
still... Do you want to, like, just quickly describe that for... Because a lot of people may not know what you're referring to as far as that limitless point.
I said, whenever anyone asks me why I want to lose weight, what my goal weight is, et cetera, I always say that I don't have a goal weight. I never have. Because it's not about fitting into a size 6 clothes or any of that. It's all bullshit. And I believe every body is beautiful. Like that, so it's never been about that. But for me, myself, I want to live in a place where my body doesn't stop me from living my best life. So if somebody calls me and wants to go ziplining, I can say, yep, I'll do it. Yep. If somebody calls and says, hey, I've got tickets to this thing, I'm like, yep, on it. And I don't have to think twice about it. Even looking when you brought out these chairs, like 70 pound higher me would have looked at these chairs and been like, oh, is that something that... And it's something that I don't think about anymore.
Yeah.
I looked at it, I was like, oh, those are cute chairs.
Yeah.
Right?
They are super cute.
But I know, but I know that I would have stressed about that. And that stress is not how you want to live your life.
You're constantly deteriorating your life.
Correct. And saying no to opportunities and having it affect your... life and your fun and your outlook and a lot of things. I just wanted to live completely limitless, at least as far as my body is concerned. So that's my goal weight. And it may be 160 pounds,
it
may be 210 pounds. I don't know what it's going to be, but when I feel that my body is not holding me back from anything, that will be my goal weight.
Well, and you're already living that. And that's what kind of what it means, what I'm always saying is like, it exists right now.
Right.
The moment it exists for you right now, the moment it begins to change in the objective reality.
Like literally riding every roller coaster at Great America with my daughter was just awesome because I love coasters. I've always wanted a coaster buddy, but it was getting to that point where, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make these ones.
Yeah.
So things have to change because I can't even have that thought. It shouldn't be a thought.
No.
At least for me, it shouldn't, because we can get into accommodations for different body sizes and all that. That's an endless debate. But for me, I did not want to be affected by having to wonder if the world could take my body.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to say yes to everything.
Yeah.
Because in general, I am 99% of the time, if you call me at 2 a.m., it's like, Cal, get your butt out here. I'm like, ding, ding, ding. And I'm out there because I love life and I love being out there and saying yes to opportunities. I very rarely say no. So if it was because of my size that I had to say no, that's
which didn't make you feel good. Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting. I really like that because, you know, I have people, and this is why we always say this was like the intention with what we're all about from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Al J and I decided to, we're going to open our own gym.
You're so young and innocent.
Yeah. you never know, don't judge anybody for where they are, whether it's like this person has X amount of weight to lose,
mm-hmm.
or this person is skinny and they think they need to be like this.
Right.
So for me, it was always like, and on top of that, you never know what somebody is going through. So we always say the simplest things are the best is if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
Right.
Nice doesn't mean you just, placate and accommodate everybody. Nice sometimes means nice always means telling the truth,
right.
You
know what? Don't be an asshole.
That's
my rule in life.
Very simple. and so that always, for a long time, I was like, I really thought and believed I need to weigh 180 pounds because that's what a man is. And I agonized for literally a decade over why can't I gain weight? Blah, 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 blah. And then I would, no longer be lean and I would get fat and that would stress me out. And so it didn't stop when I was until number one, I started to have more love for myself. And that allowed me to be like me being able to enjoy my life, which I can do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can do anything and everything I want, which was my initial goal anyway.
Yeah.
And the weight no longer mattered.
Right.
And all of a sudden, everything felt even better. And then more goals were actually achieved the moment that negativity was gone.
Right.
Right. Or more likely, the negativity was embraced and then it just dissolved.
Right.
You know?
And the reality is, if you're putting such a high level of accomplishment on a single number, what if you're 176? Right? Does that mean you failed? And you're 180 one day, the next day you eat a little more
arbitrary.
And you're 182 and then you're 174. It's all arbitrary.
And
you're
that's
correct.
That's what I always say is you're not a number. Literally, you're not a number. Literally, you're
a lot of things.
You're a lot of things, but you are not a number.
Right.
If I drew a one on the wall, that's a number. You're not that, right? And so, like, and even in like a physical sense, like every single day, or not even every single day, every minute, perfect, thank you, you're drinking some water, you just went up by, you know, 20 grams, right? Right? So what? Like, you, right, we identify with, I'm 155, like, that's who I am.
Right.
No, like, right, you're a silly goose is what you are.
Have you followed the I Weigh movement at all?
No.
It's going along with what you say. There's an actress who started this movement, and basically what had happened was people, or like tabloids, would say, here's Kim Kardashian, she weighs 112 pounds or whatever, and it was always described as how much they weigh. So she changed that, she started this hashtag or whatever, and it started a movement, an I Weigh movement, where people say, I weigh, and everything else about them but their weight. Like, I am a mother, I weigh, my career, I weigh, all these different things, and it takes it away from,
like, that,
whatever that number, yeah, is. And so there are millions of people who have gone in and they say, I weigh this, and it's a sheet full of stuff that
things
has nothing to do with,
yeah,
their physicality.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
dope.
Yeah.
I like that. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, you know, so you were kind of talking about, well, how do you get somebody to change? Because we all want people, inherently, I think we want other people to feel good too.
Yeah,
like,
I would hope so.
Especially, yeah, I mean, like, even when somebody is mean, like, to somebody else, what that's truly signifying is, like, they want to feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they're saying, like, it's not what the truth is. Like, you would never... You know, if somebody's mean to you, you want them to be nice to you. If you're mean to somebody, deep down, you don't want to be mean to somebody, you know?
Right.
I really like that. And, like, people, that's why it's, like, the same thing with, when you see it in one thing, you see it in all things. Social media is a beautiful thing because guess what? We are having this conversation, which, you know, maybe five people see it. Maybe 500 people see it. It doesn't matter,
right,
because that particular person will get something.
Right.
And they'll be able to share in that good feeling.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's kind of, I'm like, that's good. I like that. And more people are getting that. And I think we can continue to evolve in that direction by making things more simple. Like, you don't need to go back into the past and figure out what happened.
Correct.
Because you keep the past alive in the now. And how does it manifest? Is going to manifest as your feelings. Your shitty feelings that you're going to experience by going back and thinking about that.
Right.
That's how it's going to show up. So it's like, we can just choose to love and forgive and feel good now. And it's like, that's as complicated as it needs to be. And it doesn't mean that it's just going to happen like that. I mean, it can, but it'll take some practice.
Mm-hmm.
I literally have a decade full of journals where I can see the change. Like,
nice,
in the language, you know what I mean? You don't need to keep journals, like, I'm just saying, like, it's interesting to see
but
that.
But it helps some people.
Yeah.
I know people who keep journals,
yeah,
and it's so therapeutic for them, and it's what they need to do to get their feelings,
yeah,
out. And
yeah,
come to real the comfort level.
Because they're so
themselves
stuck inside,
right,
that they can't get away from. It's a funny, we'll get into our bonus questions right now.
Bonus questions.
But I just wanted to mention this is like, cause it was interesting. Cause this is what I'm sure you've seen all this stuff is like nowadays, everybody needs to have a morning routine. The morning routine, you got to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You got to do 2 hours of meditation. You got to do a cold plunge. You got to do a cold shower. You got to do, you know, 4 hours of, like, you know, writing in the morning, like, it's just all you got to do, blah 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 blah. And it's like, you don't need to do that. Like, if some, like, just because somebody else is doing something, you're like, oh well, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm a piece of shit. Like, no,
right,
whatever it is for you is correct. So
right.
Well, wonderful. Let me ask you some bonus questions here.
Question.
Okay, so the first question is, you've been given an elephant, you can't give it away or sell it, what would you do with the elephant?
Oh shit, I loved Aubrey's answer to this.
It was so good.
I can't give it away or sell it. I would make it available for everybody to ride. That's all. I would keep it in my backyard and let all the neighborhood kids play. and feed it and learn from it. Maybe start.
What would you name him or her?
I can't. Oh, it would be him, I think. I can't get Horton out of my head. I would not do Horton. I'd probably just call him like, oh Lord, maybe Buggy or something.
Buggy.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
All right, Buggy we'll go with that. Buggy. I actually thought you were saying Lord Buggy because you
Lord
said
Buggy.
you said Lord, and I was like, Lord what?
Lord Buggy Esquire the Third.
I like that. All right. If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be and why?
I would be a Canadian maple.
So
get some syrup.
Maple syrup. Maple syrup is expensive.
You're not for me. I'd
not
be
for
good.
You because that there you go.
Yeah.
All right, I like that. All right, is a hot dog a sandwich? Why or why not?
Hell no.
Why not?
Because a sandwich is open on all sides.
Oh,
and your hot
okay.
Dog, it's like in like a, it's more closer to a taco than a sandwich.
Okay. So then I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Oh.
Okay. Subway makes sandwiches. Okay. They use, would you agree with that?
They do.
Okay, so when they make their sandwich,
I'm thinking of the hoagies.
They cut it, right? And then they open it, and it's not open on all sides.
Oh, dude.
Is it still a sandwich?
Well, it has sandwich meat in it. Hot dog is not meat.
All right, so I'm just saying.
So I guess my reasoning was incorrect, although.
Okay. So we helped clarify it.
Okay, but okay. It's not a. If you close your eyes and you have to think of 45 sandwiches and you're naming them all, you would
never
say
name
hot
dog,
ever.
That's a very good answer. I like that. We'll take that. What's the best Wi-Fi name you've ever seen?
Oh shit.
I know everybody's seen tons of very interesting ones.
Yeah, well my husband usually does all the tech stuff in our house. But it's usually something along the lines of holler for the Wi-Fi password or something. Like just those are funny.
Yeah.
So if you need to yell at someone to get that.
Yeah, you just yell it out.
Just yell it out. Yeah. But I've seen some really crude ones that have me cracking up.
Yeah. Okay. In 40 years, what will people be nostalgic for?
That's a really good question. 40 years. I feel like we're at a place where how we changed from books and physical things like records and CDs to digital. Now we're kind of there. I don't know how far in the digital spectrum we can get. So I think that we may still be nostalgic for the old-timey DVDs and
the physical stuff.
Yeah, a physical book. Like my sister will only go to AAA and get a map. She will never use Google Maps.
Interesting.
So when we do road trips, she's like, bitches out there with this freaking thing like this, telling me where to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that even up to date? Like, get some Waze over here. But she has to do it because that's her comfort and nostalgia,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
So it's the same with physical books and stuff. It's,
yeah.
I think that people will still
want
feel
those
that
things.
Smell and the feel and everything else. So I think it'll be the same thing. We're not gonna have flying cars. Let's be real here. As much as we want them, we've been saying it forever.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yes. Well, even yeah, I'm like.
Not the Jetsons.
We have we have jazz nights in the jazz lounge, and you know I've been playing music off of. Spotify,
okay.
And off of Alexa, I was like, man, it would take jazz nights to the next level, if I had a record,
yes,
or records,
right.
And so now I want to get a what's it called?
Like a record player.
A record player. a record player to play in jazz night, yeah, in the jazz lounge.
That'd be so
By the way,
fun.
Jazz lounge is the family living area outside of my room, so that's the jazz lounge. But okay. Last question, best question.
Best question.
What fictional character is amazing in their book or show or movie, but would be insufferable if you had to deal with them in mundane, everyday situations? So like, you know...
I have Peter Griffin.
Okay, Peter Griffin. Mundane, everyday situations.
Yeah, he would drive me nuts, but it's
awesome.
Can
you think of me an example?
Just his voice, I think. That kind of thing. Like, it would drive me nuts, and he's pretty dumb, and the reality of it is if you asked him to do anything, it would probably be fucked up.
Yeah.
So I would.
Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
Okay. That's... I like it. All right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. Yeah. That was awesome. I'm excited to share this with people. Is there anything that, any last message, best message, that you would like to share?
I think that we've heard it over and over and over again. No matter what your goal is, you just need to trust the process and have patience. Because patience is going to get you everywhere. Nothing is linear in life. Absolutely nothing. So it's about watching and coming to acceptance with the highs and lows, and knowing that day one, day 74, day 682, there's a path and a trajectory, and it will go how you want it to go if you follow the rules that are in place.
Equanimity. So I like that. One of the three E's of San Jose Barbell. Stay even keeled and have patience.
Yep. SpongeBob with the hair flowing in the wind.
SpongeBob on the seahorse, yep, with his hair flowing in the wind. which, by the way, oh well, my phone's right there, but it's my background. So, but anyways, if anybody wanted to continue following you on your journey, where could they do so? If somebody would be interested, or if they...
I think I save my journey for my private life. Got like it. All my social media is for private, but I would recommend following San Jose Barbell, follow you, Ranbir, follow I Am Deadlift, get the Josh King, like get the group, and you'll get the overall gist of what we're about in the day-to-day posts.
And I really like this, and I thank you, and I really appreciate you having this conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
It just brought this to mind, is like, when you're doing something nowadays, there's this like unspoken, like feeling or obligation to be like, okay, well, I just did this, I have to talk about it and like teach other people how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need to do that, especially if you don't feel like it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like somebody, you know, because you see this all the time, it's like, and it's not good or bad, but I'm like, don't feel obligated to do that. It's like somebody loses 30 pounds, and they want to talk about, like, now they're a nutrition coach. Like,
right.
Like, you don't, like, don't feel like you got to do that, right?
Right. Sometimes you can just be okay with where you are. And...
You can be okay with where you are. Like, you don't, it's not necessary. If you feel like it, you can. So, that's something interesting. It's just, like, nothing about my relationship, or very little. Like, I don't discuss it, but it's funny because we were talking yesterday, or we've talked about it. It's like, you should come on my podcast and like I was talking to my wife.
Yeah.
It's like, you should come on my podcast. And she's like, what would I talk about? I was like, I don't know, whatever you want.
You're like, I think you're interesting, so yeah, maybe others will.
Or I would have JD interview us, so that would be funny. But cool, so thank you so much. Thank you if you were watching or listening. Yeah, hope you have a beautiful day. And
yeah, 100%.
Go enjoy something that is enjoyable to you.
Go watch football.
Go watch football. And that is it.
You didn't do your... Oh, shit.
We'll have to edit that in.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.